Our scripture today actually shows up several different places before I stand in front of it. This is the Walk to Emmaus, one of the paintings we have hanging around the church. We used to have one of each. We had two of the same picture. So whichever staircase you came in, you saw it. We're moving a few things around, but it was a neat Sunday to get to bring it and set it here and remember that there's... Okay, so it's a little Anglo-centric white Jesus, but still, it is our scripture and the song and lots of different ways to appreciate and engage our scripture today. Now, in order to fully appreciate today's journey in our scriptures, you must first understand the devastation amidst which the story begins. The faithful friends of Jesus are picking up the pieces after the darkest day they have ever known. Visions of what could be have been shattered. Everything that was expected was left unfulfilled. And the absolute worst of what they thought would finally be vanquished instead now has triumphed over all they held dear. Hope is gone. Our story takes place just days after the crucifixion, and the disciples are walking to a town called Emmaus. Again, you must understand the despair and the devastation, the grief and the loss that permeate their entire being. As we begin our scripture, hear these words from Luke. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And the man said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" And they stood still, looking sad, and then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" And so the man asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And you don't know how the chief priests and the leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him? But we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel." "Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some of the women in our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they'd indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then the man said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe that all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and then enter into glory? Then, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted for them all of the things about himself in the scriptures." As they came near the village to which they were going, the man walked ahead as if he were going to be going on. The disciples urged him strongly, saying, "Oh, stay with us. It's almost evening. The day is nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and suddenly he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were our hearts not burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening and explaining the scriptures to us?" So that same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and the companions gathered together. And they said, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he's appeared to Simon." And then they told what had happened to them on the road, and how Christ had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is our story. This is a story of hope re-entering life. This is a story of growing our understanding. This is a story of relationship that develops on the journey. This is a story about seeing Christ. But of course, they don't know they're seeing Christ at the beginning. No, only the readers know the entire truth. You know, I almost skipped the line that said it was Jesus so you might get a big reveal at the end, but decided to stick with what the scriptures had. But this guy, who we know is Jesus, but they don't, just walks up and asks a pretty simple question. "Hey, what's up?" And the disciples' response is perfect. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know? Now, actually, it's not that out of place. Anyone who has lost a loved one may remember the feeling of frustration when it seems like the world keeps going on around you, and you just want them to stop and realize what you're dealing with. And this situation carries even more frustration for the disciples, because, come on, they watched giant crowds of the city shout, "Crucify him!" How could you miss that? They are so close to someone, and they bump into this guy that doesn't seem to know anything. But this will serve them well, because this guy doesn't know anything. They get to tell him the story. And this is an important part of this walk. This is an important part of the journey. The disciples open the conversation by talking about what has just happened in these last days, recounting how they feel and why they feel that way. We all need this. We need this for every aspect of our lives. We need to talk about what's been going on, how it makes us feel. Actually, it's why I see a counselor on a regular basis. Sometimes my counselor and I, we dig into deep issues. Most of the time, I just tell him about my week and actually get to stop and think about what's going on in my life and how it leaves me feeling and what I need to do because of it. I get to recount what's going on and how it leaves me feeling. We all need this. Recounting how the disciples are feeling and why they feel that way with someone who will listen, someone who will acknowledge and validate what's shared, and then keep walking with them on the journey, that is important. And that's what we find in our scripture today. But the story doesn't stop there. The mystery man then begins to ask some questions and then starts offering opinions of his own. Now, as readers, we know that Jesus is explaining the very concepts he shared with these folks before. He's telling them things he's told them multiple times over. But the disciples don't know it's the same guy telling them the same thing. I'm incredibly surprised that one of the disciples didn't just look at him and try to shut him down. "Excuse me, you don't even know what happened the last 3 days, and now you're trying to explain the whole Jesus thing to us? We were there. He was our friend. You can be quiet." They don't do that. The only thing I can think of is that somehow grace has intervened, and the disciples end up listening to someone else's opinions and ideas. That's what makes this a story of growing our understanding. Instead of shutting down different opinions, instead of only listening to thoughts that reinforce their own current ideologies, the disciples end up growing in their understanding because they were open to listening to someone. It's important to note that Jesus was telling them things they'd heard him say before, but this time they connected with it in a new way. I wonder, could the fact that they didn't recognize him make it possible for them to hear and learn new things? Every other time Jesus had tried to tell them these things, they were filtering it through their expectations of the Savior. The message was shaped by their preconceptions of the Messiah. But once they weren't expecting those things, they could hear it in a new way. They had to remove the stereotypes, the judgments, and the assumptions. And then, and only then, could they finally hear what was really being said. This new openness led to the development of relationship. And as their journey neared its end, as the man who walked with them prepared to leave, an invitation was extended. "Hey, stay with us for dinner?" And this is the moment the whole story has been building to. The answer to that question only the reader has known. When will they find out that it's Jesus? And the moment comes in the most beautiful way possible. Just days before this story, Jesus had taken bread and given thanks and broken it and given it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Remember me every time you do this." And they did. They did this. And they not only remembered him, but they recognized him. They saw Christ because of the generosity of God's love. And that is the same gift that is offered to us today. As we walk this road of life, as we are on a journey that is shaping us, we are invited to stop and share a meal. And in the breaking of the bread, we are invited to see the face of Christ in every one of the people journeying with us. This is a sacred moment to remind us that God's love is available to all. This is supposed to be a divine interruption to help us recall that each and every life is created in the image of our Creator. That is why we see Christ's face in one another. This is a holy interaction that begs us to see the divine light, the presence of Christ, in every person we meet, every day of our lives. For every person, those known and those unknown, those liked or those disliked, those similar of mind and those of differing opinion, they all are walking the road with us. And if we will be honest and share with one another, if we will hear what they have to say as well, if we can release our judgments and assumptions and recognize that God has invited all people to the table, then we are on our way to seeing the face of Christ in our midst, seeing it in and through one another. So let us share.